Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message. Exactly. The title of the message today is Exactly. Last week we talked about how Daniel was fasting and he was praying as the nation needed it. And Darius had seen the scroll and knew that 70 years Israel would be in captivity. Daniel had a sense that he was in this time and is praying for Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, and the temple. Gabriel comes on God's behalf for the Jews and the temple. Some voices today do not recognize Israel and their place in Scripture. 2,400 times in Scripture, Israel is mentioned and God is mentioned as the God of Israel. Getting rid of Israel is called replacement theology or supersessionism. The emphasis that Israel has been replaced by the church is 100% wrong. Just because we are adopted into the covenant doesn't mean God washed away the promise with Israel. There is and will always be a covenant promise with Israel, no matter what some mainline denominations would tell you. These are the backbone scriptures of prophecy in Daniel, and we should be able to grasp them. This unlocks the other prophecies in the Bible. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 says this, 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Note, it's to Israel and not to the church. Daniel's 70 weeks. And the last verse is verse 27. Or the 7 years in Revelation, Jesus in Matthew 24:15 says, so when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. We need to understand what Jesus says in these verses and what he says. Daniel is to be understood here. All the things in Revelation and of the 490 years here as well. We had talked about that a couple weeks ago and don't believe the hype. God collected the 70 years and the weeks are years. This may be confusing, this whole verse in verse 24, so let me explain it to you. In Genesis, Laban told Jacob if he wanted Rachel, then he needed to work 7 years for her. Jacob was tricked into marrying Leah. So Laban told him there is a custom where the older sister first is married, then if you want Rachel, you are to fulfill her week. That's what it says. It's the same phrase as in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 7 more years, 7 days in a week, 7 years. That's why people say, well, why do we say it's Daniel's 70th week? Why isn't it 7 days? Because it's the same thing that Laban said, to fulfill her week, 7 years. God said this would be fulfilled. It would end the sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness to seal up the vision and prophecy. All will be fulfilled and anointed in the 490-year period and ushering in of the kingdom. When Jesus says to Peter in Matthew 18, then Peter came to Jesus and said, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. The language is 70 times seven, which refers to the scripture, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. You forgive your brother until the ushering in of the kingdom. Verse 25. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. They're talking about the Messiah, the temple to be built, and the Messiah will come when there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. This is the third understand this we are to understand. Now I'm going to give you some math problems, because this is my one sermon. Usually one sermon a year I talk a little bit about math. If you take 7 times 7, it equals, of course, 49 years. And 62 weeks, which is 62 times 7, which is 434 years, which added together is 483-year period, which 7 years is missing from the 490 years. This prophecy of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, you have to read scripture and not be a mathematician here. That's the issue with most unsaved scholars who try to debunk this. Now, I want to go through some other scriptures to show you what this means. To build Jerusalem. And the edict we're looking for here are the edicts that we're talking about. Now, I'm not going to read the scriptures because they would take too long. But I want to explain them, and I hope that you will read them this week. The first one is Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Ezra 1, 2 through 4 is an edict where Cyrus allows the Jews to go back and they build Jerusalem. This is, or was, in 538 BC. The next edict is Ezra chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, where King Darius issued an edict after the decree of King Cyrus was found. That is in 519 BC. And then there's another edict of King Antaxerxes, which is in Ezra. It's in Ezra. And it's the three sightings of edicts to rebuild Jerusalem. Ezra chapter 7, verses 11 through 26. That's in 458 BC. And for the temple services, none are in regards to Jerusalem. And in order to do that, we have to go to Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, which you can read in your free time as well this week. Secular history tells us in 465 BC, Antaxerxes takes the throne. In his 20th year, we are in 445 BC. It says in the month of Nisan, and when a month is given without recognition, we know it is the first of the month. So we are looking at March 14th, 445 BC. All scholars, if you talk to them, agree that March 14th, 445 is the real date. There are a few discrepancies when you do the math. But as I study, I tend to go with this, and this is really neat. There was a man by the name of Sir Robert Anderson, and he had a book that he wrote. It's really cool. If you ever want to get it, it's called The Coming Prince. It's a pretty neat book. The first 49 years are the time it went forth to rebuild the walls with Nehemiah till the walls were restored. You can compute the dates of the walls being built, and as you go through it, it adds up to 49 years. Then there's another 434 years after that added to it, the 62 weeks, and combining those to 483 years that Messiah would come, it says here. He is coming in royalty. The calculations from a 360-day calendar, which the Jews kept instead of 365 days, but every so often they added a month to keep them in the position of the lunar moon. Islam also works on a 360-day calendar, but they don't adjust and their holidays migrate. So, if you add all the things up, along with the extra days added into the Jewish calendar, it comes out to 173,880 days, 483 years. So take March 14th, 445 BC. Then if you add 173,880 days to it, it comes out to April 26th, 32 AD exactly, which in the equation, April 26th, 32 AD was Palm Sunday. And Jesus, in Luke 19, says this as he comes over the Mount of Olives. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day, what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you, the Anointed One. If only you had known on this day." And he holds them responsible to know the prophecies of the book of Daniel, especially Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 25, exactly. Sir Robert Anderson, he was the director of Scotland Yard. He did the math to work it out about Antichrist and him coming here, and he was knighted for his work. Other scholars will take the numbers. They add them up to the baptism at the Jordan River. But unto the ruler in presentation to the nation, which whenever Jesus healed, he would say, "Don't tell anyone." He constantly avoided presentation till this day. Jesus laid out the day. He set up everything for the presentation. And on this day, they would pick out the sacrifice. And as Jesus rode in, they picked him as their king and said, "He is the Messiah." He was accepted as the king of Israel. It is very exact. Verse 26, "After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed." After. The word is definite article after. After Messiah will be put to death. He was crucified for us, not himself. This is remarkable because the Jew thought Messiah would come set up a physical kingdom. He was cut off violently and crucified, and this is a phenomenal prophecy. Now there are two things. The people of a prince yet to come. The antecedent in the middle of verse 27 talks about a prince who is yet to come. It identifies the prince would have a lineage among the people who destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, which we know that the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem AD 70 by Rome. This ruler to come finds his lineage as Roman. We know in AD 70 it is Titus Vespasian. Israel refusing to surrender to him, he laid siege to the city for over a year. People were starving in the city and turned to cannibalism, and disease was plaguing them. Titus Vespasian, not even a believer at one point, turned his face towards the heavens. He said to God, "Forgive me for this. This is not my idea or my doing." Josephus said the slaughter was so bad that the blood ran down the streets, that it ran into the homes and put the fires out. The Jews retreated to the temple precincts, and the temple and Titus gave orders to wait so that the temple would not be destroyed. Two drunk Roman soldiers attempted to get into the temple and threw a torch and started a fire in the temple, turning it into an oven. The top of the temple was covered with gold spikes, which would keep birds from landing on it. Gold was all around and inside lining of the temple, and there wasn't any mortar, so the gold melted and ran between the stones. The Roman soldiers were allowed to get the spoil, which they were given. They threw the stones down and scraped it off to get it. Now, I was there. I saw the stones. 2.5-ton stones to 200-ton stones being pushed off the temple so that they could get the gold. Jesus said in his prophecies, "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Now, the grammatical rule applies here in the next verse. "He who is to come." There is a problem, though. Between verse 26 and verse 27, there's a 2,000-year period. We are still in the 483 years, and it's relevant to the Jew. Jesus was killed violently, and now another man will rise up from the people who destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70 when he comes and signs a 7-year treaty with Israel for 7 years. Verse 27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. In the middle of the 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and at the temple he will set up, remember Jesus kept talking about this, an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed poured out on him. Someone who will sign a treaty with Israel for 7 years and give them the right to sacrifice. On top of the Dome of the Rock, there's a slander around it. God does not begot, neither does he beget, referring to God and Jesus Christ. There was a pronouncement years ago to pronounce Islamic law on the entire world at the Al-Aqsa Mosque that they need to rise up and enforce Islam. Who would be powerful enough to pronounce peace for Israel and for Israel to have peace? And not just Jews, but Muslims. And Muslims, remember, are not all Arabs. Those in Egypt are Mitzlayim. Iranians are not Arabs, they are Persians. Iraqis are Chaldeans and Kurds. And Turks are not Arabs. Saudi Arabia is Arab. And what unites the Arab world is not Arabs, it's Islam. They are a separate people that are united under one religion. There will be sacrifice in the Great Tribulation. Something will happen in the last days to unite the religions. Trouble is on the horizon as something will shake us all enough to want to do this. The problem today is simply this last 7-year period is signed. That's Daniel's 70th week, the 483 to the 490. That is not relevant to the church. It is relevant to Israel. For that 7-year peace treaty to be signed, the church needs to be gone, and Israel will continue their covenant with God. Ephesians chapter 3 says, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." The church hidden in ages past. Daniel did not see it there. Would there be a church age in between the 70 years and the 70th week? When the church age is over, Daniel couldn't see that. He didn't know about the church. We see tension here. We see tension in Israel and the Middle East. There's a nuclear fatwa now where the Islamic priest proclaimed Islam is allowed to use nuclear weapons against the West. India, Pakistan, Israel, Syria, Libya, Russia, North Korea, Turkey, and though we don't know for sure, Iran, all have nukes. I added North Korea, though they're not Middle Eastern. Russia is mentioned in Daniel. Nukes that can destroy underground, nukes created to destroy human life and leave technology, and weapons that are crazy and large in scale. This is not secret stuff. It's happening everywhere, and there will be a point of no return at some point. Watch the news, and you can see we are in a crazy time in 2015 right now. We made a red line with Syria and told them they shouldn't cross it, and they did. Russia, we made a line with them too. They crossed it. ISIS just pronounced an attack on the United States. A lot is happening to point to the last days. Watch the news. And the United States is crazy right now, but where is most of the stuff taking place? The Middle East, God's center of the world. That plane a while back disappeared. Everyone's looking for it in the Indian Ocean. Maybe, and I could be wrong, and we'll find out today if I am someday, maybe they should be looking for it in Pakistan. Also, a dozen missing planes from Libya recently. A jumbo jet could be used as a weapon. I'm not stupid when I state this. They haven't found the plane, and a single nuke could be carried. An electromagnetic pulse could take the U.S. power or communication out. Lack of refrigeration and transportation, public water and unchecked fire, breakdown of social order. EMPs are so easily able to shut down the power in a country. Terrorists do not stockpile weapons. They use them. Invading armies coming in and establishing a covenant with Israel for 7 years. How close are we to this? How close are we? That's why we shouldn't be scared to the coming Maranatha, praise Jesus, of our Lord. I don't know how close. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a doom and gloom person. I enjoy my life. I enjoy my family. I enjoy my dogs. I appreciate life. I enjoy Steelers football. I like good games and stories on TV, good studying and research, good relationship with God. But I realize Jesus is coming, and he is coming soon. We need to be praying for revival or rapture. Until then, souls need to be saved. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for these situations, Father. I ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, Lord, that you would have your hand upon people, Lord, in these last days. Help us to be praying for Israel, Lord. Father, I know when you hear that, you are pleased when I say we need to be praying for Israel, because you love Israel so much, Father. And I just pray that we would be praying for them more, that you would protect them, that you would keep them safe, that you would continue to help us, Father, in our lives each and every day, Father, and I thank you for that. I give you all the praise for what you're going to do, and I ask that you just continue to show us your exactness in prophecies and in many different things. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message, then please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the image scroller and subscribe to this podcast. And remember, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.